are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to another Monday edition of Locked On NBA, the biggest stories with the local experts. I'm your Monday host, Jackson Gatlin, also host of Locked On Rockets right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, we're chatting with Nick Engsted from Locked On Mavericks as Kyrie Irving gets traded to the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic finally gets his co-star. How good can Luka and Kyrie be together? Then we go to Doug Norrie from Locked On Nets for the Nets side of the Kyrie Irving trade. Are the Nets still contenders after this move? Was this the best return that they could have gotten for Kyrie? And what impacts will the Kyrie trade have on Kevin Durant's future? Lastly, we chat with Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors to discuss the likelihood of Toronto Raptors dealing OG Anunoby ahead of the trade deadline. What a proper return would look like for OG and possible destinations like Philadelphia, New York, New Orleans, and even Memphis. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day. Free and available on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Joining us now is the host of Locked On Mavericks, Nick Engsted, who you can find wherever you listen to your podcast as well as YouTube. Just search Locked On Mavericks. And Nick, the NBA landscape is so crazy because a couple days after it was initially reported that Kyrie Irving wanted out of Brooklyn, he has now been dealt to the Dallas Mavericks for Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, a 2029 unprotected first-round pick, and a couple of second-round draft picks. I hear the deep sigh. Was this the right move for the Mavericks? Let's start there.
It was a move for the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks have been in a situation the last couple of years where, all right, we got to get a star next to Luka. We tried the Kristaps Porzingis thing. That ended up not working out. And then the Mavericks were kind of stuck in this era of, all right, let's try and hit some home runs with things. Let's try and hit some singles, some doubles. Let's try and just get some pieces around Luka. Even going into last year, the Mavericks didn't think that they were a Western Conference Finals team. They thought they needed to still make a move to go get a star. And so part of the problem with Jalen Brunson and that whole contract was they were going to give him an extension, but with the extension, they knew that he was super tradable, and Brunson knew that he was super tradable. There is a world where Brunson is in this deal instead of Spencer Dinwiddie at this point, and the Mavericks are sending him off to the Brooklyn Nets. And so now you bring in Kyrie Irving, and it's a big risky move. Obviously, there's a lot of risks involved with it. Injuries, suspensions, he could say something over the next couple of days and all of a sudden alienate a big portion of the fan base. He can, you know, all of a sudden be suspended. Like, who knows what could happen over the next couple of days here. But you bring in a guy that is obviously the best player Luka's ever played with. It's the best offense in the NBA now with Luka and Kyrie. There's not many options for players. The Mavericks have run this offense this whole season that has driven me insane, where it's one player has the ball, one player does everything, and then everybody else kind of get out of the way or spread the floor. And Kyrie Irving could do that really, really well.
You know, stylistically, I can't help but look at this new duo with Luka and Kyrie and think, man, this feels very reminiscent to when Kyrie played alongside LeBron James, right? I mean, stylistically, you know, Luka, very different player than LeBron, but he's like kind of the engine, right? The straw that stirs the drink for the Mavericks. And now you've got Kyrie next to him who can potentially be the closer for this Mavericks team. I mean, what specifically does Kyrie do for Luka and this Mavs team now?
He takes the basketball. He dribbles the basketball. He puts the basketball in the hoop. Really? Like, they needed that. They did need that. I've seen a lot of tweets and things today of people saying, oh, got to get two balls now because there's only one ball. It's different in the NBA now. 2023 in the NBA, it's just so different. You need two of these guys like this to be able to handle when Luka is off the court or when Luka just needs a break for a minute, somebody that can go and handle the ball. Spencer Dinwiddie had done a decent job, but anytime Luka was not on the floor this season, the Mavericks' offensive rating was like 107. It would be like one of the worst in the NBA this season. So they had been really bad when Luka was off the floor. They had been great when Luka was on the floor. They've needed somebody to be able to carry the Mavericks when Luka was off the court. And this is a player that can do that offensively.
How much does losing Dorian Finney-Smith hurt the defensive side of things for the Mavericks?
Can we start with my heart first? Dorian is one of the most loved players in of all the Mavericks. He's my favorite non-Dirk Maverick of all time because of the way that he started his career. He developed. He just became a great guy that you wanted to be around. But defensively, he guarded 1 through 5 to varying degrees of some success, but the Mavericks asked him to do that. And he's just a very switchable, versatile player that didn't complain about getting shots, just worked on his shot, became a better three-point shooter, started to add a little bit of a dribble drive to his game. Not much, but started to add that to his game. And was a guy that was sort of he started to become like a culture setter type guy for the Mavericks. He was the guy in the playoffs that was getting people together, that was the one that was getting people in line defensively. You know, even if you watched that game the other night between the Mavs and the Warriors, you heard the audio assist from Dorian. He was mic'd up and it was like, hey, you go there, you go here on defense. And he was calling out assignments and things like that. And he had become a leader in that sense. So the Mavericks are losing a lot when it comes to that. I really wish they could have just put anyone else in the deal besides Dorian, because he means so much to this team. But the Mavericks do get more talent, and that's what the game is at the end of the day, is to acquire more talent.
The Mavericks championship odds have shifted from +1900 to +1400 via our friends over at FanDuel. You can go check those out for yourself at FanDuel.com. But Nick, does this move in your eyes make this Mavericks a team a championship contender, truly?
This move specifically, no, but it sets up some things. The Mavericks still have more moves to make. I don't expect Christian Wood or Tim Hardaway Jr. to be on this team past the trade deadline. We'll see what they can do with that. But now you've traded a first round pick. You've traded Dorian. You've traded a contract in Dinwiddie. You've made a move now to go get another star in Kyrie. So they can move some of these first now to try and go get, what if they go get Bogdanovich? What if they go get Miles Turner or whoever else is maybe available out there? The Mavericks still need to make a couple more moves. And if they do that, then maybe I'd consider them a title contender. But right now, I don't think they are. That being said, Luka doesn't need a lot. He doesn't need a lot. Last year, Luka didn't need a ton to go beat the Suns. Last year, Luka didn't need a ton to come back and to come back from being injured for 3 games and go beat the Jazz. Like, he just doesn't need a ton. He needs just a couple guys around him to help. They probably need one more really good defensive player, because a starting lineup of Luka, Kyrie, Christian Wood, maybe Dwight Powell, like Josh Green's good defender, but like if he becomes the starter, if Tim Hardaway Jr. is still starting, like if it's Luka, Kyrie, Tim Hardaway, Christian Wood, and Dwight Powell, ugh. Like Sean Sweeney, who's the Mavs assistant that's in charge of defense, is going to have his work cut out for him. So they need to make one more move. And at that case, then I'll start talking about them as a title contender. But for now, they're at least further in that direction than they were.
What will the duo of Luka and Kyrie be able to accomplish for the Mavericks? What moves, if any more, will the Mavericks make ahead of the deadline? Of course, you'll have us covered for all of that and more over at Locked On Mavericks. Nick, I appreciate you stopping by Locked On NBA with me.
Let's go.
Coming up, are the Brooklyn Nets still contenders after the Kyrie Irving trade? And what impact will this deal have on Kevin Durant's future in Brooklyn? We're going to get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Next game, how about Luka Doncic to score more than 26.5 points? What about LeBron James to have more than 7.5 rebounds? How about Jaren Jackson Jr. to have less than 5.5 blocks? Or what about Ja Morant to have more than 2.5 dunks? So what is Prize Picks? It's daily fantasy sports, but how does it work? Basically, you pick 2 to 6 players and they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 25 times back on your money on any entry that you submit. That's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That's NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, you name it. They've got you covered over at Prize Picks. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that simple. They're safe. They offer fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And continuing on here at Locked On NBA Monday, as always, thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day. The NBA trade deadline is approaching and Locked On has you covered. Thursday, February 9th, tune in to Locked On NBA on YouTube at 2 p.m. Eastern time to hear reaction from the trades that will change the rest of the NBA season. Who becomes contenders and who is tanking for a better future? Subscribe to Locked On NBA on YouTube and don't miss a single deal. Joining us now is Doug Norrie, the host of Locked On Nets. You can find wherever you listen to your podcasts and on YouTube, just search Locked On Nets. And man, Doug, I mean, just the NBA is such a whirlwind, right? A couple days ago, Kyrie Irving puts in a trade demand, and now he's off to Dallas. Let's start with, given the other possibilities out there for, you know, a potential Kyrie Irving trade, right? The rumored Lakers trade for Russell Westbrook in the first round pick, maybe the Phoenix Suns were looking to get involved in some capacity. How would you grade the return for Kyrie Irving here, getting back Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, the 2029 unprotected first from Dallas, and then a couple seconds on top of it?
Yeah, I think actually it's hard to be too mad about this for a couple reasons. One, okay, look, you're never winning a trade where you send out the best player, right? The NBA, especially the best player that still like has probably years of his basketball life to go. So you're never winning that trade. I think that, but you can't really view it just in terms of that context. You have to view it through the terms of what had happened here with Kyrie and what the Nets were going to need to do in a limited timeline. So I think once you are able to put it inside that or view it through that lens, I think that this return is actually pretty good, because it gives them flexibility around a couple of different paths, depending on what happens next. And maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit, but like the Nets are not done here, but I don't necessarily think they're done being better, or they're not necessarily done being worse. Like there's a couple ways that this team could go. I think that this package gives them flexibility around a number of different moves. And frankly, I saw a situation where the closer they got to the trade deadline, I was starting to worry that Kyrie's value was going to drop even more. Like he wants these contracts and like he's going to sit out and he's going to sit out the whole season, or like whatever else could have come with 72 to 96 more hours worth of just NBA stuff. So I think in overall getting back, you know, Dinwiddie and DFS and some picks and start to claw back some of the Rockets picks that they had that they gave away, I think this was fine, with the clear understanding that on a strictly basketball level, the team is definitely worse because Kyrie is way better than these guys, right? And so I think that, but it's hard to get to look through it through all a dumb bunch of different lenses.
And kind of let's navigate some of those lenses. I mean, you talk about a couple different, you know, pathways maybe for this team moving forward. I am curious, you know, how this move potentially impacts Kevin Durant's future with this team. But walk us through a couple of those pathways. And you think maybe, you know, are there some more moves to be made here ahead of the deadline? Maybe that don't involve KD trying to maybe round out this roster a little bit in the aftermath of dealing Kyrie.
Yeah, so they definitely were not in a position prior to this deal to like be in on any like I would call player, like win now player of value, right? I don't think they had the tradable contracts. I don't think they had the draft capital, unless they were just going to forego nearly the rest of their future. You know, they're owed Houston a bunch of stuff here. They don't really have much in terms in the cupboard in terms of the draft piece. Now, all that involved Kyrie Irving being on the team, and so that has to be factored in. I think they are in a place where they can probably make some of these like short win now, but maybe future moves. Like, could they be in on an OG Anunoby? I don't think they'd be the front runner, but they could at least make an offer now, right? On guys like this. I think that they have gotten enough pieces back and contracts back that like they could probably start having the conversation around some of those guys. So I do think from that standpoint, this puts them in a different path. I think now clearly the organization is going forward now trying to get better around Durant, right? Like I think that they have to do that. Even if they didn't fully believe it, they'd have to at least say there's lip service. I think they will go into this trade deadline with that mindset of like trying to still contend as much as possible this year. I do wonder if they would stop short of like unloading everything else that they have or everything they've gotten back in order to make the team good for this year around Durant. So that's just my opinion, but I think they're at least set up now to have a couple different discussions. But I think, yeah, like could they be in on some of these trades? I think they can now. They have enough draft picks. They have some interesting contracts. They have pieces that other teams could sort of slot in and play depending on where they are in their trajectory. So I think they have some flexibility here.
We saw some reporting that the Phoenix Suns would now potentially be interested if Kevin Durant were to become available. I mean, you mentioned just now that you think the direction of the franchise is now trying to just build very clearly around KD, take one more swing at it, you know, this season, maybe revisit that discussion in the offseason. But just how does the organization moving on from Kyrie Irving here in this fashion, the way that they did, how does it impact KD's future, right? Do you think there's a world where they might actually start entertaining some calls for KD here at this deadline?
I wondered about the time. This is me just saying this on my own, my opinion that I saw in the first 15 seconds where I read the Kyrie thing. I did wonder that at the timing of the Kyrie piece, while everyone would view it as, oh, it was two things. One, I think that the Nets were very clearly wanted to be out of the Kyrie Irving business. Like, I think that they, like, it was very clear with the contract offer that they gave him, with how quickly this deal got done, that they were just like, this deal's fine, see you later. And I think so. I think that there was a part where they, I don't think that should be gone unsaid. I think that they were like, we did it. We tried it. It's you. It's not you. It's us. Goodbye. Right. And like, and we'll take pennies, but we'll take something back. But I did wonder, like, the next thought was, yeah, we can look at this like this gives them time to retool this team to get better around Durant. It also gives them time for Durant to tell them, hey, Kyrie's gone. I don't want to be here either. The Simmons thing isn't working. Like, whatever. Like, there was time for other conversations here. I do think, I'm not sure, I'll say, I don't know, but nothing along those lines would surprise me at all. And he's already said that he wants to be traded once. So it's on the table. And I think they would probably entertain it, but would have to be blown away. Right. Like, and it would have, from that standpoint, I don't think it actually happens, but I think that it has to be at least discussed, right? Like, this team's on a totally different trajectory right now. And I'm not sure it's totally lining up with winning a championship, even in their current iteration with Durant. So I think that there's just too many, there's a lot of moving pieces. And I think that, is there a world where, like, KD, we're having the lockdown, you know, KD's getting traded on Wednesday? I think it's, I don't know, 10%, something like that. But it's higher than zero. And that you usually with KD want to be at 0%.
Are the Nets still contenders in your eyes right now with no other moves made? Are the Nets still contenders right now?
For the championship, no other moves made? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're contenders. I think that they are. I think Kevin Durant, we've seen Kevin Durant is good enough to win you multiple series kind of on his own, right? Like, we are only 2 years or less than 2 years removed from him putting this team on his back and almost getting them past Giannis and Drew and Middleton in that series. Like, he was by himself basically in that series, and they almost did it. His toe was on the line. They would have won. They might have won the championship, right? Because they could have gotten some health and stuff like that back. So I don't think you can ever, whenever Kevin Durant is on your team, the ceiling still has to be pretty high. I think that in its current form, I don't think they're contenders, but I think they could, like, if Simmons comes back and is sort of like what we saw in December from him, then I would start to move the needle up a little bit more, right? If they were able to make one more move here for a sort of a secondary piece, then I would move them up a little bit more. But I think you really have to squint and see it here, just because there are just some other really, really good teams. It's kind of like less about the Nets, and just some of these teams are already fully realized. And I think that it's harder with the Nets. You're still in this, and this is, we're on 3 years of this, man. You know this, like, you are in tell yourself a story land. Right. Cause like with the Nets, you've had to consistently tell yourself a story about why it's going to be good. That story never gets to the end. So we never know, kind of know how it goes. We're still there now, but I just think it's harder to see it under the current form, just cause, like, it's just hard, man. Like, Kevin Durant's great, but the drop off from KD to their next best player now is really probably farther than you can realistically have it to win a championship. Right. And so I think, I would love for them to win a championship more than anybody, but there's a reason they're 11th in playoff odds right now. And I think that's probably correct. Or championship odds.
It's like the world's worst choose your own adventure book. I just, you know,
can I say one more thing? I know you like,
yeah, go for it. No, like, go for it.
I do think that there is this crazy world where if you play this thing out, if you play this simulation out 1,000 or a million times, or how many sims you run, like, this was one of the bottom 2% outcomes over these last 3 years. Like, it really was. And with Kyrie, yeah, maybe you get a few more bottom, like, left end of the bell curve outcomes, because, like, he just is a total wild card and it doesn't take much, right? But I do think that if you do this, like, this was one of the worst versions. There's lots of versions of this where one guy's hammy doesn't get pulled and one guy doesn't roll up in someone's leg, and we don't have a global pandemic that the only time it's ever happened, you know, basically in our life and many, what will ever be our lifetimes. Like, so many things happened here that really just undid it. And I think that's really the biggest bummer of it all, is that I think there is a world where more than a few times the Nets win at least one championship with this group. And it's like, and they still kept the group together and everyone was happy and they loved winning together and nothing else kind of mattered. We just didn't get that version and it sucks.
What moves, if any, will the Nets make ahead of the NBA trade deadline? What impact does Kyrie Irving's departure have on Kevin Durant's future in Brooklyn? Of course, you'll have us covered for all of that and more over at Locked On Nets. Doug, I appreciate you stopping by Locked On NBA with me.
All right, thanks so much.
Coming up, will the Toronto Raptors deal OG Anunoby ahead of the NBA trade deadline? And what would a proper return look like for OG? What are the possible teams that are interested? Is there a bidding war going on for OG Anunoby? We're going to get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Are you looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories that usually comes along with it? Then you've got to check out Built Bar, because with Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't even think that they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolutions if you're still going strong with those. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. They've got strawberry, raspberry, salted caramel, cookies and cream. The list really goes on and on and on. Not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining incredible macros. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Best of all, we've been talking about how you can order Built bars online for a while now, but you can go in person now to Sam's Club or Walmart and pick up a box yourself. That, or again, if online's easier for you, visit built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On NBA Monday. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On NBA part of your day every single day. Free and available on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, including YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On NBA. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Joining us now is Sean Woodley, the host of Locked On Raptors. You can find wherever you listen to your podcasts and on YouTube. Just search Locked On Raptors. Now, Sean, OG Anunoby's name has been in the rumor mill a ton leading up to the NBA trade deadline. And depending on whether or not Kevin Durant finds himself on the block in the aftermath of the Kyrie Irving trade, you could pretty easily argue OG is the number one guy available for teams looking for that piece to kind of get them over the hump. But before we kind of get into what a trade for OG would actually look like, Is trading OG the right move for this Raptors franchise?
It's hard to say, because right now, Jackson, I don't know if there's like an obvious next move for the Raptors. Like, I don't know if there's one thing that's going to, you know, set them on the right track, fix what's gone on in a truly horrible season where I think they've pretty inarguably hit one of their lowest possible outcomes this year. And, you know, there could be the argument that you don't do anything, that you stay steadfast with, you know, the hope that you get some internal development from guys like Scottie Barnes and Precious Achiuwa. And maybe you get the leap you were hoping for this year, next year, just kind of on a bit of a delayed timeline. But when it comes to OG, I do think I've come around on this being the move for the Raptors, because I do think it is what sets them up best for next season. You can go and trade OG for players who are established. You can do players and picks, maybe younger project players. You can do all picks if you want. Either way, it's going to give you ammunition to go make moves in the offseason or rebalance your roster in a way that is badly needed for a team that doesn't have a whole lot of roster balance. The Raptors have made their whole identity, oh, all of our players are the same size. Well, guess what? When all your players are the same size and very similar in skill set, there's a lot of overlap. The fit gets very hard to manage, and you have very clear, glaring skill sets that you don't have on the roster, like point guard play and shooting and playing defense and being tall. These are the things the Raptors don't have a ton of right now. And so I think trading OG, who is, I think, easily the most valuable of all the guys who are rumored to be available for the Raptors right now, you know, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr., they're pending free agents. They're not quite as easy fits with any sort of team the way OG is. And I think because you have a wide open contender field right now, a lot of whom could fancy themselves one OG away from being a true title favorite, I think there is a very good chance the Raptors get an offer this week that's too good to pass up. And if I'm the Raptors, I'm probably pulling the trigger on that deal by Thursday with OG.
So what at this point then, if you're now on board with the idea of the Raptors moving on from him, and you touched on it a little bit, you know, the return here is what will ultimately signal whether this is maybe a rebuild for the Raptors or kind of leaning that direction versus a retooling of sorts. Mm-hmm. So what would be the ideal return then in your eyes for OG Anunoby at this point?
I think if you can get young players who you can theoretically envision as the core future guys around Scottie Barnes, or even just contributors to a team where Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam are your clear core players, I think that works for me. Obviously, picks are helpful too, but I don't think I'm super into the idea of just like an entirely picks-based package. I think this Raptors team needs to use OG Anunoby not in a dissimilar way to the way they traded Rudy Gay back in 2013, which, you know, Rudy Gay was clearly the best player in that deal between them and the Sacramento Kings, the deal that famously set the Raptors on their track that eventually led to a title 7 years later. That deal was trade Rudy Gay, who is very talented, has a lot going for him, but doesn't fit on this roster. Trade him for players who can better balance the roster, maybe some guys who can grow into being something bigger than they are right now. You know, as far as actual players, my sort of dream trade, and this is not ever going to happen, but just hear me out. OG Anunoby for Tyrese Maxey, PJ Tucker, and Daniel House. The money is exact, $17.3 million. OG comes in as the ace defensive wing that the Sixers could use next to James Harden, next to Tobias Harris. Obviously, you lose the scoring punch of a Tyrese Maxey, but that's the kind of deal I think the Raptors should be looking at. You could even make that bigger and do like Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey for OG and Gary Trent Jr. So you still get some shooting and offense coming back if you're the Sixers. Look, this is a pipe dream. It's not going down. But that to me is the kind of move that I would love to see, a move that gets differently skilled players in the door, preferably some sort of lead guard, especially if you're moving on from Fred VanVleet and you need that extra ball handling and playmaking infusion into your lineup. But if you can turn OG into actual players who better make sense on this roster, maybe a couple of players who rebalance things a little bit, I think that's the ideal move here. And there's lots of teams that could fit with. I think the Knicks can offer some interesting players with Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin, Isaiah Hartenstein, that type of guy, those types of guys. But as far as ideal packages out there, I do think it has to involve decent players or even good players coming back to help rebalance things.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you just mentioned obviously a couple Eastern Conference teams that could potentially be in play for OG. There are it feels like more than half the NBA is probably picking up phones right now calling about OG Anunoby. There are a bunch of Western Conference teams that have been linked with interest, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Suns, maybe a bit of a bidding war kind of starting up for OG at this point. Are there any, you know, potential examples of hypotheticals that you have for any of those teams that I just mentioned?
If you can pry, I think the guy that I have circled, if it's not going to be Tyrese Maxey, which fine, it's not going to be Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, but pipe dream, we'll set it aside.
I think if you can somehow pry Trey Murphy III away from the New Orleans Pelicans, I feel like that would be just like the perfect type of player to throw into the Raptors roster. You get a younger version of a wing type player that OG is. Obviously, Trey Murphy is not the defender that OG is, because maybe no one on the planet is the defender OG is at the wing. But you get shooting, you get a young player who has some, you know, potential to grow into as well. Obviously, that will come with other picks and salaries and whomever else you throw in there. Devontae Graham could be a guy that gets moved in there as a way to, you know, incentivize the Pelicans just to get off that contract, which I'm sure they don't want to be paying. So Trey Murphy stands out as a guy. And another one that I've kind of thought of, Anfernee Simons with the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are rumored to have coveted OG, obviously, at the draft. Lots of rumors out there suggesting they offered the 7th overall pick, which became Shaedon Sharpe, for OG Anunoby. I wouldn't have done that deal at the time if I were the Raptors. One pick for OG, I don't think, was doing it. And I think they've, you know, kind of been proven to be right that there's a bigger market out there for him if they want to move him. And I think if the Blazers are looking at reorienting their roster, that Dame Simons backcourt, it's got all the same problems the Dame McCollum backcourt had. It's just younger. I wonder if maybe this is a chance for the Blazers to reorient things. You bring Anfernee Simons into the Raptors, and it's not like a perfect fit. He's a very bad defender. He might never be even an okay defender. That's certainly something you have to accept if you're the Raptors and reckon with. But if maybe that's the thing you can do, get an established lead guard in Anfernee Simons. Maybe he makes it more palatable to trade both Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. at the deadline, because you have that ball handling to pair with Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam going forward. That's an interesting one to me. Who knows if it happens? I would doubt that it does, just because that's a big deal for a couple of teams to pull off in the middle of the season. But those are a couple of other Western Conference options. But like you said, there's so many teams who want OG, rightfully so. And if you're the Raptors, you have to at least like second guess yourselves a little and be like, if everyone wants this guy, like, should we be trading him? Because there is a downside to it, right? You could trade OG, it could backfire on you. You could spend the next 15 years being like, man, I really wish we had a guy like OG Anunoby on the roster. And it could become like a Babe Ruth type curse, really. This is a Raptors team that's never had good small forward play. And it's a big decision to move on from a guy as good as OG is. But those are some of the potential outcomes I could see if they do end up pulling the trigger by Thursday.
Will OG Anunoby still be a Raptor after the NBA trade deadline passes? Are the Raptors trying to retool or are angling toward a rebuild? Of course, y'all have us covered for all of that and more over at Locked On Raptors. Sean, I appreciate you stopping by Locked On NBA with me.
Anytime, man.
That's going to do it for another edition of Locked On NBA Monday. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On NBA. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. But as always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On NBA, the biggest stories with the local experts.